God bless you. Welcome to podcast number 106. Come on, Donald Lawrence. Help us get started here today. Come on now.
We pray peace. Oh. In this time of fighting.
This time of fighting.
We pray love.
Love.
In this time of hating.
In this time of hating.
We pray safety.
We pray safety.
In this time of killing.
In this time of killing.
The joy of the Lord.
Send the joy, God.
In this time of stressing.
In this time of stressing.
We pray for
God bless you. I pray that all is well. This is Reverend C.L. Jones from Diamond Grove Baptist Church, 127 Diamond Grove Road, Skippers, Virginia. If you have your souls, can you join with me and turn it to Acts chapter 26? Let's look at verses 27 through 29. And it reads as follows. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bounds. God's blessed word for God's blessed people. If I was tagging this, I would tag it, almost persuaded. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Oh, Father, we ask for forgiveness. And Lord, we ask for guidance right now. Allow this vessel to decrease and your spirit to increase so that we all may hear what thus said the Lord. Father, we're calling it victory already in Jesus' name. Amen. Almost persuaded. Let's set up our lesson that's going to sound a little bit like a Lifetime movie. If we go back to Luke chapter 1 verse 5 and Matthew chapter 2, we see Herod the Great. He was the one who ruled as king of Jews under the Roman authority for 33 years. It was this Herod who appeared in the account of Jesus' birth. He wanted all the children to and under in Bethlehem to be killed. Our Herod Agrippa was his great-grandson. Felix, the previous governor, was married to Drusilla. Now, Drusilla, Bernice, and our Herod Agrippa were sisters and brothers. And it was said that our Herod had a thing for Bernice. See, that sounds like Lifetime. Well, here we are. Festus, King Agrippa, along with Bernice, were among some chief captains and some principal men of the city. And when... by the command of Festus, Paul was brought forth. Now, Acts 26 and 2, Paul speaks, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I should answer for myself. Paul was, he was happy, even though he was in chains, he up there as someone just out of prison, but he was happy that he was there and able to speak for being what he was accused of by the Jews. And Paul knew that some Bible scholars would be present. He even knew that Agrippa knew himself a little bit about some Bible. And so Paul told them how him himself used to crucify Christians, but then he spoke about his experience on the road to Damascus. He told them how a bright light from heaven had blinded him and his men and knocked them down to the ground. And in Acts 26, 14-15, he said that he had heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And it is hard for thee to kick against the prick." And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted." Well, in Acts 26, 22 and 23, we find out that Paul said that God has helped him all the way up to this very day so that he can give this testimony. And he was only talking about what the prophets and Moses had happened. But then he said that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. As Paul started to hit on some of these high points, Festus saw it fit to interrupt Paul's witnessing. He yelled out that Paul had so much learning that that it had made him mad and even crazy. And of course, Paul went to defend himself and said that he wasn't mad, that he only spoke the truth, the sobering and reasonable truth. And he even asked King Agrippa, did he believe the prophets? Well, that brings us to Acts 26, 28 and 29, where it reads, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadeth me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bounds." You know, that was Agrippa. But what about Festus? See, Festus knew that Paul was very serious because from the beginning, he heard Paul letting Agrippa know that he was happy to be in front of the king even as a prisoner. To Paul, it was more important for him to get the word out than for him to be comfortable. Paul boasted about his suffering and his weakness because it brought God's power and grace into his life. Paul said over there in Philippians 1:21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul was happy to have the chance to witness. Paul was sure about his eternal future. So with that, he did not mind going through some pain if somebody was going to get saved. Paul found joy in suffering. And that was to him, because to him, it was worth having been in front of Agrippa and also letting all those others to hear what he had to say that day. True, Agrippa did say that he almost was persuaded, but almost is very close to, but not completely. It's very near, but not exactly or entirely. Almost is like saying mainly, mostly, much, much more or less, or not quite. As I listened to Paul, I thought, what if we would just do our part? Who knows what would come of it? This reminded me of a true story that happened at one of the churches I was at in D.C., where there was a lady that her husband used to bring her to church every Sunday. And he didn't go in. He dropped her off and went back home or came back and picked her up. But every Sunday, and on the inside, folks would always hear her pray that her husband would come to the Lord. And this went on for years. But then she passed. And one Sunday morning, after the preacher was, he preached, and then when he opened the doors of the church, a lot of people in there remember that lady, and they seen him drop her off. And they got so excited because when they looked back, when the preacher opened the doors of the church, here he come walking down the aisle and to give his hand to the Lord. Oh, yeah, that just made it. I thought about what God said about Cain when he said, when you remember Cain and Abel, and God said, "Thy voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." This lady was gone, but it was like her blood from the ground was still praising God. You see, all that mattered to Paul at this point was winning souls. And we see almost maybe all that God wants us to get people to. You see, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 3 how some of us, we go and we plant, and then some of us, we give water. But it's God that gives the increase. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you might have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We may suffer in the here and now, but he has overcome our last enemy. And he did that when he went up on Calvary's hill. He did that when he allowed himself to be nailed and pierced in his side up on that old rugged cross. He did that when he gave up the ghost and when he allowed them to bury him in the belly of this earth. He did that. And 3 days later, when he got up out of that grave, because when he got up, he had victory over the enemy. You know that scripture that says, "Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, where's thy victory?" You see, I can say victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, "Get me behind." Victory today is mine. You know, the worst thing that anyone can do, worse than murder, worse than rape, worse than lying to your mama, would be not to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So let us try to persuade someone to ask, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, I don't know who have and who have not accepted Jesus Christ. So if you're not sure, say this prayer with me. Say, "Lord, I believe that Jesus is the virgin-born Son of Mary. Lord, I believe they went to Calvary's hill and died for my sins. Lord, I ask for forgiveness of my sins. Lord, thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen." The word said, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shall be saved. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for those that are struggling in this country, Lord. But we pray, Lord, that they would be persuaded to accept your plan of salvation. So, Lord, we ask that you use us to help reveal that plan and help us to be examples so that they may be persuaded to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Like I always say, keep each other in prayer. And until we meet again,